for the most entertaining talk anywhere. Stay tuned to LA Talk Radio, your real talk station. Your real 24 talk hours of commercial-free programming.
Bears, Phones, and Stones mark the day as Back Time remembers the events that formed November 18th. On this day in 1902, the teddy bear was invented by Morris Micton, who named it after Teddy Roosevelt after he refused to shoot a captive bear on a hunting trip. In 1963, the first touch-tone phones went into service in Pennsylvania. To move on to the next event, please press 1. And on today in 1995, the Rolling Stones became the first act to broadcast a concert on the Internet. That's Back Time for November 18th. This is your announcer speaking.
A string of 9 missed periods ends spectacularly. It's the Onion Radio News. This is Doyle Redland reporting. Proud husband Kevin Hoffman was nearly overwhelmed today after his wife's long hiatus from menstruation ended with a show-stopping conclusion that took him completely by surprise. Hoffman says if he knew something this incredible was in the works, he would have kept his video camera handy.
It's just so amazing. It's just, I mean, wow. It's just, wow.
Hoffman later admitted that his wife's erratic mood swings and growing midsection led him to believe she was merely going to explode. Doyle Redland for the Onion Radio News, online at theonion.com.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Seasonal Mall Employee.
Mr. Seasonal Mall Employee.
You dress as Santa Claus and spend all day with sticky, screeching children squirming atop your lap. Do you do it for the extra cash or because you secretly enjoy it?
How about a background check?
You, Mr. Seasonal Mall Employee, man the free ear-piercing kiosk. You pull the trigger on that piercing gun, proving you're not afraid to get a little holiday blood on your hand.
Ow! I hope that thing was sterile.
Because donning a rent-a-cop uniform and dozing in your patrol car instead of protecting patrons in the parking lot means you've got what it takes to be Mr. Seasonal Mall Employee.
Wake up, I'm getting mugged.
So the next time you're stuck in the food court because some holiday halfwit can't locate the cash register's hold the pickles button, raise your finger in salute to Mr. Seasonal Mall Employee, a real American hero.
Mr. Seasonal Mall Employee.
Minimum wage, no health benefits either.
Time once again for new words from the Collins English Dictionary. Today's new word is meh. Meh is defined as an expression of indifference or boredom, or an adjective meaning mediocre.
Meh.
As used in a sentence, that new action movie was just meh. You can use the word meh to describe a bland meal or an uneventful day at work.
Meh.
However, the most common use of the word meh is to illustrate the feeling one experiences after listening to...
And now from high atop the LA Talk Radio building, it's time for Sam and Susie in the Morning. Right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hello.
Yes, well, I'm too busy. Good morning. It is, should we start it this again? Okay, let's start it again.
And now from high atop the LA Talk Radio building, it's time for Sam and Susie in the Morning. Right here on LA Talk Radio.
Okay.
That's better.
Yes. Good morning and welcome to Tuesday. It is November 18th.
Motherfucker.
Your fucking microphone, man.
It keeps falling down, Sam.
What are we going to do with that?
I need a strap-on.
It was fine before.
I need a strap-on microphone that I could just strap to my mouth.
Yeah. Well, it's okay. I can still hear you. It's fine.
Well, from now on, maybe we should just lower my chair.
We'll fix it on the break. I mean, I don't know. I tried this, but I don't know why. Anyway, we're having a problem with
technical difficulties in the
Susie's
studio.
Microphone arm here. No, just talk straight. You don't have to go down the microphone. I'll turn you up a little bit.
Okay.
So anyway, good morning to and welcome to the show. We've got a great full show for you this morning.
Yes, two authors coming on.
Yes, yes. And I'm sitting here already playing with myself this morning.
Sam.
Because, Susie, I can't help it. You know, I wore boxers to work this morning.
It can't possibly make that big of a fucking difference.
It really does.
No,
telling you. Okay, well, listen, okay? When you wear briefs, okay, they really hold your penis right there. You know, there's not much movement going on.
Gotcha.
But when you wear boxers, this thing just kind of dangles against your leg and against your pant leg, and there's a constant rubbing going on. So, so
what is going through your? Don't you have to have like things going through your mind to get you aroused and not just a dangling?
No, because I'm starting to get tickling there. You know, I mean, it's just like what if you sat on a vibrating thing, you'd probably get turned on.
Not necessarily.
No?
Like if I sit in a motorcycle, the vibration doesn't really get me turned on.
Mm, okay. But other things would.
Instead, it annoys me and starts to make my ass itch.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure. But if you stood next to a washing machine or something, I'm sure.
I'd really have to angle myself correctly.
Yeah.
You know, I would have to be laying on top of the washer with like my legs spread with the corner like against my clitoris.
Okay. So you see, so that is the
the difference?
No, not the difference. What am I looking for? I don't know, but that's something that men have to deal with. You know, it's like you have an external organ, okay, and it gets rubbed all the time.
Do you scratch your balls a lot?
No, not really.
Really?
Sometimes I do, yeah.
Some men do it a lot, actually, all the
really?
Time. Like they walk around fucking scratching their balls, and it's really annoying.
Really?
Why do
no,
they
I don't do that, especially not in public, my
or maybe
God.
It's just my boyfriend. He doesn't wash his balls. Ew.
Don't start. Let's not go there, man.
Come on. It's so disgustingly wonderful. This shit was made for radio.
Yeah. No, absolutely, absolutely. But you know what? I mean,
you're saying absolutely, and you're ignoring me, trying to change the subject.
No, again. I'm not. I'm trying to think of something I wanted to say to you.
Okay.
And what I realized about Franz when he was here yesterday, as he, I don't know, he comes across as someone who's depressed. You know,
He's definitely not a morning person.
Mm.
And it was really, I don't know, I kind of made him come with me yesterday.
Yeah.
Because my roommate doesn't want him in the house but when I'm not there. And he's like, come on, it's your room. He's like, I could sleep here. And I was like, actually, no. And besides, I'm so sick of him just like sleeping in all day while I get up and go to work.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what? From now on, if he spends the night, he's out at 7:30 when I leave the house. So fuck that.
Did he spend the night last night?
No.
No?
No.
Oh, okay. Good for you.
He probably spent the night at our friend at our friend's house that I was at actually last night. Every Monday we have Craft Club.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
And what is that all about?
It's basically a whole bunch of my cycling friends, and we get together, and we just get drunk and stoned, and we do arts and crafts.
Oh, cool.
So we had every...
So what did you make?
I was knitting.
Oh, you were knitting?
Yes.
I can't see you fucking knitting.
Why? I'm a good knitter.
Are you really?
Actually, no, I take that back. It's a lie. I'm a very bad knitter. My grandmother taught me how to knit a long time ago because she's always knitting things. But she was always so mean. I'm so ADD. I can never like really pay attention to it for that long. I'll be knit two, purl one, whatever. Right. And then all of a sudden I'll forget about it and I'll have this huge hole in the middle of my scarf. And I have no way to go back and fix it. So basically all of my scarves that I have are pretty much incomplete 6-inch increments over the course of 10 years that I've never actually done anything with.
I see.
But, you know, I'm not very crafty anyway, so that was my craft yesterday.
No, but you were high and shit, so it probably felt good, right?
Yeah. I was actually really, really tired yesterday. Just kind of drained after my biology exam.
Mm-hmm. And how did that go?
I got a high C on the test, which really isn't okay, but it ended up being okay just because the professor is giving us a big curve.
A big curve. Fuck.
Yes. Well, my girlfriend Ariel got the highest grade in class, and you know that was only 6 points higher than me. So he's gonna round that up to an A or 100, and so he's gonna add 16 points to everyone's test.
Oh, nice.
Yes, yes.
So you got an A.
Yes. I'm so manipulative because I actually.
You are. I mean, I never heard of someone's getting a C and he ends up with an A.
Thank you very much. I know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
No, our professor's so cute. He's just so adorable from Brazil and everything. And it's such a small class And we, like, get together with him outside of class, and we have study groups with him. We make him think whether we're really interested, when we're really not. Mm-hmm. And so yesterday, I went up to him after the test, and I was like, Professor, this is unacceptable. Thank you so much for giving us the curve in advance. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, he hadn't even thought about that. He's like, what? I was like, for giving us the curve. I was like, you're going to make Ariel's grade an A, and, you know, everyone else subsequently thereafter will be increased 16 points.
Right.
And he was like,
so you went for that.
Oh, okay.
So that was your idea.
That was my idea.
Oh,
and he's totally
I'm
doing
impressed.
It. Yes. The thing is, this is kind of the thing. You have to thank someone before, you know, for doing something before they do it or before they think of it and be like, that's so nice of you, Professor.
Oh, wow.
It's kind of manipulative, but...
It is.
Whatever
and
works.
You've learned it very well, I must add.
Thank you. I just have to rant one second about something, and then
no,
we'll move...
No, not you.
Shut up. Then we'll move on back to your balls and your tickling and your dick.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much. But let me just tease. We're going to have a couple of great authors today.
I hate that word tease when it comes to, like, the radio.
Right.
I hate plug and tease.
Do you?
Yes.
Okay, but people don't know if they should stay tuned or not, you know, so we let them know. Okay?
That we're not just going to be talking about sweaty balls all day.
Yeah, we're going to speak to a very rich man who wrote a book called The Power Phrases for Positive People, and I would imagine someone like him should know about this if he became so rich.
Like, seriously.
You know? And then we have a woman that communicates with animals, and that should be very interesting. You know, I'm really looking forward to that, and we'll see what's going on, you know. So,
remind me to tell you about my mom's dog whisperer at some point.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I don't know what it is about this. I mean, animal psychics, for crying out loud, I can't even take human or people psychics, you know?
Well, animal psychics are a lot easier to deal with, I would assume, because you really don't have to be telling the truth.
Exactly.
You're just telling people what they want to hear, I feel.
I think psychics do the same thing, you know, regular psychics.
I think, you know what, I could see that too.
You know, I mean, it's like, you know, until you convince me, you know? I don't know. You know, I mean, because I think, you know, I mean, I get, like, visions and feelings all the time. Mm-hmm. I don't go around saying I'm a fucking psychic.
You know, I sometimes get these weird feelings, and then they'll actually come true. Mm-hmm. And I still don't go around telling people I'm a psychic. I'm just like, whoa. I'm like, yeah. I can't believe that just happened.
Yeah, I mean, maybe those are just, like, hidden abilities that we have, and some people just attribute them to being psychic or a sensitive or a medium or a channelist or a channel, whatever.
We should have Lisa come back in, my roommate, and talk about this, because she is actually in training, you know, to become a psychic.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I kind of just, like, roll my eyes, and I'm like, sure, yeah, whatever. In
training
to become
to be
a psychic.
Yeah,
you know, it's like,
yeah.
Well, do you go to school for that? Yeah. Like, do you have to pay tuition?
You train how to tell the stories real well.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I don't know, but it's a big fucking industry too.
I know, and, like, I was telling some people at our party the other night that you know, they're like, oh, you know, and we all go to this psychic, and I was like, what? Mm. What? Really?
Really.
Maybe it's just because it's an East Coast thing to be kind of skeptical of this shit.
Yeah, I suppose.
It's very...
You guys are more astute.
Yeah, I don't know. I think East Coast people are just a little bit more grounded in reality, and they don't have their head in the clouds all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a lot of dreamers here in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I suppose
a
so.
Lot of dreamers. Oi. No, I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but...
Yeah. No, I mean, if it makes someone feel better, then fine, you know. But I don't know, it bothers me that sometimes they talk as though they're a therapist, you know. You should do this, and you should do that, and, you know, I mean, you're not really a therapist, you know. So, they're probably, most of them are self-appointed professionals, whatever.
Maybe if I drop out of school again, this could be a new profession for me.
Yeah.
I could practice therapy without a license.
Yeah, I know. This is like, you know what, all the calls that come in are, like, it says call failed, and they disappear after 2 seconds.
Why?
I don't know. Hello? No, there's nobody there. I don't know, Susie. Maybe something's going on with the friggin' computer system here.
Hmm.
Okay, there's another call. Wow. Good morning. This is Sam and Susie, and you're on the air. You see? They're gone.
Call failed again?
Well, now it doesn't say that, but they just disappeared. Three different people? Three different numbers?
Wow.
What the fuck?
Yeah, maybe it's the same person calling for
please keep
numbers.
Calling. No, I don't think so, because it's different area codes and everything.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah, please try to call again. I don't know what's going on.
Uh-oh, now you're vibrating.
Yeah, you know what? They're calling me where we're supposed to call them.
Oh, the author?
So should I take... Here, let me take
your
call real quick. Yes, good morning. You're not on the air, but this is Sam. Can I help you? Right.
Trying the other number that we were given, and they
to all the listeners who are hearing the dead air right now, Sam, okay. Sam is on the phone.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm like, you see, we're on the air and stuff. But the point is, I have a number here that we were supposed to call. That's why, you know, maybe that's why you're having a problem. Can I call you back? Okay. We're going to call right now. We're going to call. Okay, do you want to patch him in now?
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, no, the first number. Okay, I got to get off the phone, ma'am. Okay, just have him call. Thank you. Okay. I can't believe this. I mean, she's talking to me on my cell phone here. I'm doing a radio show, and, you know, we were supposed to call them, and now they're trying to call us. So let me see. Okay, there's another call. Folks, this is like a crazy morning. Good morning. This is Sam and Susie, and you're on the air.
Hi, Sam.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi, Susie.
Hi.
Is this Chase?
This is Chase.
Oh, my God.
Good
did you recognize?
I recognize
Good morning.
What's
so,
going on, Chase?
I'm listening to your radio show.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
About the psychics.
Yes.
And I have something to say about this.
Okay, Chase, can I ask you to call back in like 15 minutes? Because we have an interview. I hate to do this to you, but they're waiting.
That's okay. Can I give you my landline?
Yeah, do you want the whole country to know about this?
Why don't you text it to me, Chase?
No, just call back.
I couldn't get through initially.
Just call back, Chase, in about 20 minutes.
Okay, goodbye.
Thanks, bye, baby.
Bye. Okay, so the right one will get through sometime, you know. But
yeah,
I guess she wants to chime in on the psychic thing. I figured people would, you know, because a lot of people feel strongly about it.
Very
know?
Strongly
yeah,
about it.
Yeah, I guess, you know, I just never saw anything to convince me. So,
me
I don't know. Yeah.
Well, let's call this author.
Didn't they say they were going to call?
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, they've got like five different numbers here. But you know what? I'll try and call one of them and see. You see, I would imagine he's a very busy man. You know, I mean, he's like very rich.
Here, well, let's tell everyone what the book is called. It's called 10 Powerful Phrases for Positive People by Rich DeVos.
Is that how you say it? I think DeVos.
DeVos?
Yes.
Okay. And then co-founder of Amway and chairman of NBA Orlando Magic.
Mm.
Is that basketball?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think so. The Orlando Magic. I think. Okay, so we're calling Mr. DeVos. I think that's a pronunciation. But this is weird. I mean, they give us so many numbers, and then they're trying to call us. And that confuses everything.
I know.
Yeah. Hmm.
Hello, this is Kim Burrow, and I'm sorry I'm not here to get
Okay,
you
why am I getting that number? Okay. Well, I guess we're not going to get through to him directly. Maybe they'll call us back.
All right.
Okay. So we're going back to, I mean, we were talking about a million fucking things.
I know.
Things, but we were talking about psychics, too. So, okay, well, we'll leave the rest of it for when Chase calls in.
Okay. I wanna
Chase is Susie's friend, by the way. Very hot.
Very hot.
And she was on the show a couple weeks ago.
Wonderful breasts.
Don't even get me started there, man, Susie. You know, I'm very susceptible to getting turned on.
Because of your boxers?
Yeah. Here, there's a phone call. They failed, Susie.
What the fuck?
But how come Chase got through?
I don't know.
You know? What the fuck is going on? Oh, I'm really pissed. Okay, you know what?
You just itched your balls.
I didn't.
I just saw you.
What?
You itched something.
No, I didn't. What did I do? I did not touch my balls.
Put your hand in your crotch, okay. And I saw you do something.
I didn't. No, I was trying to do something here. I don't know what, but...
And your hand accidentally got misplaced on the balls.
Yeah, what kind of a show is this? I mean, people don't know what the hell we're talking about, you know? I mean, that was probably the worst radio when I took the call. Why did you tell me to take the call? I mean, how can you possibly
Am I the authority on everything over here? You
yes.
just do what I say?
Yes, yes.
Oh, my goodness. I have that much power?
You do.
Sam.
You do.
Oh, Jesus.
No, I was thinking about this. I don't know why this morning I was thinking, in your relationship, you definitely wear the pants in the family.
Yes, I do.
Right?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
I'm thinking...
I was thinking a lot of things about you this morning and all your dysfunctional relationships and shit and all that. So I'll give you my theory in a little bit.
Okay, no, I really would like your theory.
Yeah.
I really would love to hear it.
Yeah, but I think you're the, Okay, they're calling another line. Okay, let's see who this is. Good morning, this is Sam and Susie, and you're on the air.
Good morning.
Yes.
Someone just cut me off when your person calls you.
And this is Chase again.
It's Chase?
This is me again. Yes.
I didn't cut you off. Okay, go ahead,
no,
Chase.
No, I mean, When your author calls, because I'm sure they have more interesting things to say than I do.
Okay, so you've given us the permission to cut you off. Okay, go ahead.
Totally. I mean, you may not want to, but if you have to, I understand.
Yes, yes.
So, the psychic school, you know, I only caught a little piece of it, but you were questioning about whether people who become psychics have to go to school?
Kind of, yes.
Yeah, kind of. You know, I have a limited understanding of this. Like, it's my understanding, though, that you do actually have to be licensed and you do actually have to be trained. And I actually had a woman who worked for me, very well educated. She went to Cornell. She studied human ecology. She just got, I'm assuming, her master's in Chinese medicine.
Okay.
She wanted to become an acupuncturist. And she was, until she got her massage license as part of her training in order to get, you know, to earn a little extra money, she thought of becoming a psychic. So she actually went to some
kind
of psychic.
Did she have any psychic inclinations beforehand, or, you know, she just decided that she could take the training and become a psychic?
I think, you know how sometimes I'm like, Susie, I have such a strong intuition on you?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I read tarot cards and all that other
stuff. Well, reading a tarot card, don't you just have to, like, flip the cards over and, like, you know, say, like, you know, tell a story about the pictures that are portrayed on it?
Yes and no, because the cards can mean so many different things depending on how you read them, depending on, like, the spread that you're doing.
So it's all bullshit. You're just making up something based upon the pictures. I mean, I'm a really creative storyteller. I mean, you can show me a whole bunch of different ink blots, and I can come up with the most fabulous, fabulous predictions about what is going to happen in your life. I'm telling you right now, you're going to be famous.
Well, no, wait a second, though. I beg to differ, because there's actually some psychologists who are interested in consciousness theory who consider tarot cards, you know, an insight into the deeper psyche.
Chase.
We have a serious emergency on our hands.
Okay, we need to call back the author, so I'm going to cut you off and do call us back in a few minutes, okay?
Okay, goodbye.
Okay,
bye.
Thanks, Chase. Bye. You know, okay, so we're going to call Mr. Rich DeVos. Just called me directly, and we're going to call him. I think we've got the number correct now.
It sounds like this is our first time on the air today, Sam.
I know. This is terrible, Susie. You know, we did used to have these problems in the beginning before you were here and stuff, you know, but yeah. So,
good afternoon, Foxworth. This is Aaron.
Yes, good morning, ma'am. This is Sam and Susie in the morning in Los Angeles, and I think we finally are connecting with the right number. Is that correct?
Okay. I'm sorry, who are you trying to reach?
Rich
DeVos.
Rich DeVos?
Yes, I'll put him through. One moment.
Thank you very much. I don't know who she thought we were trying to reach, but at any rate.
Yeah.
Where are they at? I don't know where they're at. Okay. Hello?
Sam, I am.
Yes, Rich DeVos, good morning to you. Thank you so much
good
for joining
morning,
us.
Good morning, Sam. How are you?
Good, good.
Hi, Rich. Welcome to the show.
I'm sorry this sounded like so unprofessional, but we really usually we don't have these problems, you know, but we finally have you on the line, and this is amazing. Where are we calling you?
I am in Florida.
Oh, Florida.
I'm south of Palm Beach, right down looking at the Atlantic Ocean.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
you
beautiful.
See, now this man knows how to live.
Well,
wonderful.
I'm 82. I'm entitled to this now.
You are. You know, I mean, I always figured, when do we finally get to enjoy all this hard work, you know?
And when you're 82.
82, I suppose. Well, I salute you for even reaching that age, because I'm not even there yet, you know? So
I had to get a new heart to do that. I got a new heart 11 years ago.
Are you serious? Wow.
Yeah, I have a heart transplant.
Oh, my gosh.
A transplant.
Oh, my gosh. That's so scary.
Yeah.
Wow, it's either that or die.
Yeah, that's true. So how are you feeling now? I mean, are you feeling pretty good?
I'm feeling great.
Wonderful, so. Wonderful. Well, we're talking to an 82-year-old billionaire. Is that true?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay, because, I mean, I'm really shaken because I've never spoken to a billionaire before.
Well, they're just like regular people, just except they got money.
Really, really. So tell us a little bit about you. Yeah. Briefly, how did you make your fortune? You obviously had...
I started a little company called Amway.
Oh, Amway. You started Amway. Wow.
That's amazing.
We started that with a $50 investment and went to work, that's all.
$50?
About 50 years ago.
How long ago was that?
3 years ago, we started Amway.
3 years ago, did you say?
50.
50, yeah, that's what I thought. That's amazing.
And 10 years before that, we started selling a product called Neutralite, coming out of Buena Park in California there.
Oh. What is Nutrilite? That sounds familiar.
It's a vitamin mineral food supplement.
Oh, and of course California is the best place to sell it because everyone wants it out here.
Yeah. We bought a sales kit for them and start selling for them, and then did that for 10 years and then started a little company called Amway, and 10 years later we bought that company and now we own that company.
That's amazing. That's absolutely amazing.
We sell
amazing.
Their products all over the world. Sell about $2 to $3 billion worth of Nutrilite.
Wow, amazing, amazing. And is Amway still going strong these days?
Amway's going stronger than ever. We're running about $8 billion a year.
Wow, that's not bad at all.
And this all over the world.
Right, and this is Amway's pretty much people getting into business for themselves and selling the product. Is that true?
That's right.
Yeah.
We have about 3 million people who sell our product.
3 million.
Now, forgive me for my ignorance. Is it kind of like a pyramid scheme, the way you go about this?
Well, we've been accused of that, but it's really not. There's a fine line between a pyramid and a legitimate company, and after all, we're here 50 years later, so we must be pretty legitimate.
Yes, but, I would say so, yeah.
It's a matter of how you work the numbers, and pyramids always end up collapsing.
Right, because
the way our system works, it isn't a pyramid, and we're still here and going strong.
Yeah, amazing. I think the main difference, Susie, is with a pyramid, in order for someone to make money, someone else has to lose money. Is that correct?
Well, that's what a pyramid does. Right?
Yes, exactly. But yours is
not. Everybody's got to make money.
Yeah, absolutely. And you sound like
you have any job openings?
Yes, you can get an Amway anytime and anywhere and for anybody.
Really?
But we also have about 12,000 employees. We have manufacturing plants. Our big plant is in Southern Cal, where we make our nutritional products. They're in Buena Park.
Wonderful,
we have
wonderful.
Farming operations there and in Mexico and in Brazil, where we make the raw ingredients.
And are you still actively involved in the company, or are you retiring?
We're a nice private company.
Oh.
We're one of those bus companies that are owned by two families, and my son and my partner's son, and he's passed away. They run the business today, and it's going great.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Now, I know we have a limited time because I know you have a lot to talk today. And so let's go to your book. It's entitled, Susie?
10 Powerful Phrases for Positive People.
Yes. And so how did you come to this? I mean, obviously, I was telling Susie, you must be using a lot of positive thinking in your life if you've gotten as far as you have.
The book was done because, really, I built my business around it, and because my life was enriched by people who encouraged me, starting with my father, who used a phrase like, you can do it, over and over and over. Mm. Whenever I'd say, oh, I can't do it. And he'd say, you can do it. You can do anything. You can do it. And he also told me something else, get in business for yourself. That was his favorite phrase.
Yes, yes.
Because when I grew up in a depression, you know. I grew up through World War II. You know, people talk about tough times. I grew up in all those early tough times.
Right, right.
And boy, and my father always said, get in business for yourself where you have a little better control of your life.
Right.
Mm. Now, well, that's how it started.
I know during those times, they had the whole positive thinking started, right? Like the power of positive thinking with Vincent Norman Peale, was it?
Yeah, it was Norman Vincent Peale who started that, a good friend of mine.
Oh, really? So you knew him?
Yeah, and Norman was a preacher, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, most people don't know this, but Norman was kind of an insecure, negative young man.
Mm-hmm.
To Hope College in Holland, Michigan. And two professors talked to him and said, Norman, you're a smart guy now. Stand up and start reciting your lessons. You've got the answers to yourself. And Norman sat on the fourth step coming down a hallway, he tells me, and prayed, and he said, Lord, help me to become a different person. And he decided to come out of his shell and went on to fame and greatness.
Right. Amazing. And I know, I mean, I've read that book, and I've got to tell you, for many years, I could not think positive at all. And I'm here to say that you can really change, you know, because your life is not going to change that much, but the way you respond to things, I suppose, is, right?
You got it.
Yeah.
And the way people respond to you based upon your attitudes.
Right.
You know, I had a school teacher who wrote in my year, and I was not a good student in high school, that's as far as I got, but he wrote that I had talents for leadership. Now, I was a mediocre student, and then this teacher I respect writes this in my yearbook.
I never forgot it.
You know, really? It's one of those lifts you get in life.
Mm-hmm.
Along with my father's encouraging words, and here this guy says that, and I began to think differently. And so I moved on with my life during the war and after, and started our little business. And we started a flying school. We didn't know how to fly, but we after World War II. Because we developed an attitude that, you know, you can go do it.
That's true.
We tried it.
Yeah.
And we sailed. And then we bought a sailboat and sailed to the Caribbean. We sank off Cuba because we didn't do so well, but we had a trip anyway.
Wow.
Oh, that's hysterical.
That's amazing. Now,
that's because we've never been on a sailboat before.
Yeah. And then you go all the way to Cuba.
Well,
that's not a good place to say.
Part of an attitude of, you know, you'll never do anything if you don't try and do something. But if you wait till you know everything to do something, you'll never do anything.
That's true, absolutely. And that's why I want to briefly just list, we're not really going to get into each one, but I just want to list the 10 powerful phrases that you feel will help people feel, think positively and really get better results in the things they do. Now, you say, like, things that we should be able to say is, I'm wrong, and I'm sorry, and you can do it, just like you mentioned before. Another one is, I believe you, or, I'm sorry, I believe in you, you know, Susie?
Yeah.
I believe in you, Susie.
The phrase is, I want people to begin to put in their vocabulary.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, so that you look at people and look for the good and not the bad.
Yes.
You know, look at that dumb haircut. Look at that stupid tie. Look at that dress, you know. We've got to learn to look at people and say, wow, you know, I really trust that guy. He gets the garbage picked up every morning.
Right.
He's perfect.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, you have a choice of what to think, you know, and you can think positively or you can think negatively. And I don't see how thinking in a negative manner is going to get you anywhere.
Well, it is what a lot of people possess. It's part of the automobile industry problem. We come out of Michigan, you know, and,
yes.
And it's a fighting. It's always controversial.
Mm.
And cooperative and figuring out how to make this thing work. It's, I'm going to get my piece, and I don't give a damn about the rest of them.
Right.
Well, you know, you can't survive that way.
Yeah.
And right now, I hope they're going to just sit down and say, come on, guys, let's figure this out together and move on.
That's true. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine how someone would not like you if you were in the habit of saying these things, like, I'm proud of you, thank you, I need you, I trust you, I respect you, and I love you, you know? These are powerful things.
In my experience, as an old man, that's built my business and made my life and my family a rich and wonderful experience.
Amazing.
Absolutely.
Amazing.
They're such basic things, but they're things that people really forget to really say to people and each other on a daily basis.
Right.
It's simple stuff.
Yeah, really is.
The book has had a lot of impact on people already, and this is my fourth book, but this one's a kind of a fun little book, and people are having a good response to it. So we encourage people to buy it for Christmas or give it to somebody that might enrich their life.
Absolutely.
I'm trying to make people life enrichers, and you can do that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. There you go. And you know, coming from a billionaire, I mean, I'm not going to argue with that, you know, because you've proven.
You're doing something right.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, well,
I own the Orlando Magic NBA team, too, you know, and it's the same thing with those guys, you know. They're not all positive all the time, either.
Right.
Do you give them pep talks before the game?
They get down and they need words of encouragement. So that's how I help encourage my ball team.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, you've definitely made your contribution in the world. So now you can go back and actually retire and enjoy Florida and
yes.
The ocean and everything else.
that's okay. You can look at that and see it all day.
Yeah.
You got to see your life contributing to the advancement of the society that you're in, and that's what I'm still trying to do.
Well, thank you very much.
Yes.
We really appreciate it. I enjoyed the book.
Talking to you guys this morning.
Yes, it's a. I want to let everyone know it's a. It's a small book. It's an easy read, but very, very powerful. Yes, I think. So we're talking to Rich DeVos. Thank you so much. 10 powerful phrases for positive people, and we'll all be reading this. I'm sure it's available everywhere. In fact, I think I saw it at the bookstore already. So all the best to you, sir, and good luck with the book and. We're very inspired, so thank you for your time.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you, Rich.
Bye-bye.
Oops. Okay, I just hung up on a billionaire
before
he finally said the final goodbye. But very inspiring people. I love listening to older people.
You know what? He really reminded me of my grandfather.
Really?
He's the same age as my grandfather, and you know what I mean? He's lived his life to this point, and you know, he's just kind of like, all right, you know, my grandfather's kind of the same way in that he's... Well, I don't know. He's just very giving of his time and of himself, and he really just wants to really kind of make his mark on society by helping people and just by changing the world.
Right. So he does that by looking at vaginas.
He does that by looking at vaginas.
Uh-huh. What a tough job.
No, let me explain. He does that because he spent his retirement going over to third world countries and bringing medicine on his dime, you know, spending his retirement doing this.
Very nice.
So,
very nice.
And, you know, advocating like non-smoking and things like that for the American Lung Association and, you know.
Yeah.
All those good things.
Really cool stuff, yeah.
Old people are... sorry, Rich, but old people are amazing.
Yeah. No, they really are. You know, I remember I used to have a professor in college, a marketing professor, but he was also like a sweet little Jewish man, you know, older man. And he was so inspiring for me, you know. It's like I would just love to go after class and just talk to him, you know. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we'd go and grab something to eat and talk about just anything.
Sometimes it's just so comforting and cozy to just, you know, just be around a literally an old soul like that.
Yeah, I know. They've got so much experience, you know.
Yes.
And there's a man that shows you a living proof that if you think positive and you believe in yourself and you keep acknowledging people, you know, I mean, most of this is not really things that you're thinking, but things that you say to other people.
Yeah.
Like to admit you're wrong. I mean, not many people will do that.
Mm,
you know,
I don't
say I'm wrong. No, you're never wrong, Susan.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
It's interesting because once upon a time back when I was living in Massachusetts, I kind of got involved with a company that was very similar to Amway. Only, you know, I forget what it was called. It was something different. But it was one of the pyramid scheme ones. And everyone, like, we would get together and have, like, these parties with all the women and a few men, but mostly women that would work in this company.
Right.
And everyone was all about just, you know, really, really positive thinking.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like so positive, you're kind of like, okay.
I know.
Wow, like, doesn't anyone ever have a bad day here? Christ.
Almost like they're pre-programmed or something.
Seriously,
huh?
It's kind of like the Stepford Wives.
I
and
know.
Everyone's just like perfectly, like everyone's beautiful, everyone's just fabulous all the time. And you're just like, wow.
But it works, you know, that's why they do it.
And you know, when they go to sell these products and things to people, you know, like the Nutrilife or whatever that stuff's called, you know, the company I was working for had their own brand, but it was the same thing. It's like, this product will change your life.
Yeah.
It will make you feel 10 times younger. It will make you look 20 times younger. And and I mean, when you're trying to sell this to people, and I mean, if you're just kind of looking fabulous and happy, people are like, I could be happy too.
Yeah. But you see, the thing about this and pyramid schemes, like, by the way, I mean, what he does is called multi-level marketing, you know, and there is a difference between that. I mean, there's some legitimate companies that do that, you know, but
I think mine was illegitimate.
Yeah. I don't know, but that's the thing, is that these people, you know, and when they try to recruit other people, because essentially that's what you're doing. You're not even selling the product. You're recruiting new salespeople.
Yes.
All the time. And it's usually your friends and relatives and shit like this. And you end up alienating everyone. You know, I've tried it. Believe me, we've tried it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not for me.
Why does it end up alienating everyone?
Because suddenly you look at all your friends as potential customers, you know, and you don't treat them the same. You know,
really?
I mean, you're starting to see your friends as fucking dollar signs, you know, and that's what happens. I mean, who are you going to go sell to? You're going to sell to the people you know. So you're going to go to your friend and say, look, man, you can be really rich, you know, just do this, do that, you know, and with if you get 5 new people a month, and that's going to multiply and exponentially and blah, blah, blah. But the thing is that I read something that was proof to me. I mean, that was very convincing to me, that the people at the top make the money at the expense of the people at the bottom.
So how is Amway any different?
I don't know. I don't know how they work their thing, you know, but, you know, I don't know. You know, I mean, I don't know.
That's why it's called a pyramid scheme.
Well, no, but pyramid is attributed to those illegal things that people do. You know?
Yes.
Yeah, and Amway is obviously
but
very
also the pyramid is like, you know, the people at the top, you know, are making all the money, and like everyone at the bottom,
exactly,
you know, not so much.
Yeah, exactly. But that's what I'm saying. I mean, the people at the bottom here, not only do they not make so much, they actually have to lose money for the other people to make money. You know, and it's
what do you mean
so
they're
plain.
Losing money? I don't get it.
Okay, because you have to put in, like, if you get
say
into
say I
this,
invest like $500 in,
yeah,
in
you
products?
Have to, usually a couple thousand or something you have to invest. You buy the products, and yes, so you put in your couple thousand, that goes up the chain, and then you now have to keep recruiting people to recoup your money. So you see what I'm saying? So somebody's always out the money.
Unless they get enough people.
Yeah, well, those people below them then will be out of money. Somebody's always
but
out of money.
Only temporarily. Eventually, they will start making money.
Right, but what? I'll bet you most people get out. You know, they don't stay for a long time because then they realize how hard it is. Hmm. It's not easy at all selling this shit or selling people, you know, convincing someone to put up to $2,000 to buy product for an opportunity to make a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, I don't think it's a great thing.
I don't think a lot of people have, like the drive to actually, like, complete something like this because it does seem very, very time and, like, labor intensive.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, whatever. Yeah.
Who knows?
Well, we're not in pyramid schemes, or am I?
Yes.
And maybe that's why I'm poor.
Exactly.
It's okay. I'm poor, but I'm happy.
Yeah. But you know what's amazing? I mean, how can you accumulate so much money in a lifetime, you know? But you heard what he said. I mean, and that is the key to making money. You've got to go into business for yourself.
Mm.
If you're just working for someone else, you're always going to make the same amount of money.
You're a slave to the man.
Yes, the opportunities are limited, and you're building someone else's dream.
Yep.
You know? So, you know, I urge everyone, and just like he said, and I think you'll find it in every business book or any, you know, financial advice and shit, that in order for you to really accumulate money, you've got to go into business for yourself. Because then the sky's the limit, really, to what you can do. And usually you do something you love and you have a passion for it, so there's no reason not to succeed, you know.
Yeah, you've got the little wheels in my head turning, and I'm like, what the hell should I do with my life, Sam?
Exactly, exactly. Well, you know, I mean, if you go back to modeling and shit, that's your own business.
Not really.
It is.
I mean,
you're not
kind
working
of.
For other people. You're not on a paycheck, Susie. The more you work, the better jobs you're going to get, the more you'll be paid. You know? So it's your own business. Trust me. Okay?
I don't know. You've got to answer to, like, managers and agents and directors.
Look, you
and
always have to
people.
Answer to someone. When it's your own business, you answer to your customers. You always have to answer to someone, you know? You have to answer to the authorities, you know, and keeping the law and all that shit. You always have to answer to someone. Everybody has to answer to someone.
Even God.
Even the President of the United States. I don't know about God, you know, but everyone else, yes.
Speaking of God, my Palestinian, I almost called him Pakistani, Palestinian friend who called in the other day.
Yes.
I saw him yesterday for class,
uh-huh.
And he was like, so, how does a Jew bastard like me?
Is that what he said?
Kind of.
Is that what he said?
Kind of.
Now, why would he say that?
I don't know.
Did I put him down in any way? He's the only one, if you go back to the tape, Susie, he's the only one that makes the attacks.
I know, Sam, I know.
He puts me down. Being condescending.
And then he wanted to know what the feedback was from other people, and I was like, well, we had a caller after you hung up the phone who wasn't really your biggest fan.
Yeah.
And that's all I have to say.
Well,
and
why did he? I'm sure he listened
and
to
then
the show.
Then he was, no, he actually didn't listen to the show. I told him he can go back and listen to the archive. I don't think he knew that.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But so, yeah, and he was like, yada-da-da-da, he probably hates you for being friends with me. And I was like, no, he doesn't. Mm. And I was like, you know, I was trying to lighten up the conversation. I just wanted to talk about sex.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm getting nothing here except, you know, bullets and, you know, all these other awful things.
Well, maybe if those Palestinians got a lot more sex, those Muslims, they would not be as angry.
Wait, are the Palestinians the ones that have to wear, the women have to wear, like, all covered up?
Most Muslim women do.
Oh, yes. God, how awful.
Yes. It's just like two different extremes, different countries and stuff, yes.
How does the guy know what his wife is going to look like?
He doesn't.
He has no idea
what
she's going to look like?
Well, he is, you know. I mean, no, they don't cover their faces, not the ordinary Palestinian and stuff.
I mean, like in Iran
and Saudi Arabia, it's like that. But I don't think that's the case with the Palestinians.
All right, so in Iran and Saudi Arabia, the men have no idea what their wife is going to look like until
they
unveil her.
Well, I don't know. Maybe
her.
They do, but often it's arranged marriages and shit, you know?
God, can you imagine how awful that would be?
I know. So these people, no wonder they're fucking angry all the time, you know?
I would be really angry.
Give them some porn and fucking strippers and you watch, all these
drugs.
Muslims will be so much more mellow, you know? That's what they envy about us, is this openness, you know?
Ay, ay, ay.
You know? The fact that we can have a Daisy Marie come in here and take her shirt off and show us her fucking boobs, you know? That's why we're so relaxed here.
Oh, Christ.
Okay, so we'll take a little break, Susie.
Okay.
And maybe Chase will call back, and our other author is supposed to be calling in. So take a little break, and we'll be back right after this.
NBC's Knight Rider is about to take a ride down death row. Introducing Suge Knight Rider.
Suge, there's been a shooting downtown.
What? So naturally you think I did it?
No, I'm just saying we need to go downtown.
What? Is your name Miss Daisy? Am I supposed to drive your ass around, mother...
Suge Knight Rider. There's a fine line between fighting crime and committing crime.
Wait, Suge, where are you going? This isn't the way downtown.
Yeah, well, Dad, we gotta take a trip to Vegas. I got some friends we need to drive by, you understand me?
Drive by?
Suge Knight Rider. Right after an all-new My Name is Snoop, only on NBC.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
Say my name, no one is around you. Say, baby, I love you, but you ain't running game. Say my name, you acting kinda shady. Ain't calling me baby, why the sudden change? Say my name, if no one is around you. Say, baby, I love you, if you ain't running game. Say my name, you acting kinda shady. Ain't calling me baby, better say my name.
Any other day, I would call, you would say, baby, how's your day? But today, it ain't the same. Every other word is a huh, yeah, okay. Could it be that you are at the crib with another lady? If you took it there, first of all, let me say, I am not the one to sit around and be played. So prove yourself to me. If I'm a girl that you claim, why don't you say the things that you said to me yesterday? I know you say that I am a stupid thing. Something's going down, that's the way it seems. Shouldn't be the reason why you act this strange. Nobody's holding you back from me. Cause I know how you used to do. When you're saying everything to me times two. Why can't you just tell the truth? If somebody's dead, then tell me who. Say my name, say my name. Say my name. No one is around you. Say baby, I love you. You ain't running game. Say my name, say my name. You acting kinda shady. Ain't calling me baby. Why the sudden change? That you are at home by yourself. When I just heard the voice, heard the voice of someone else. Just this question, why do you feel you gotta lie? Getting caught up in your game when you cannot say my name. I know you say that I am assuming things. Something's going down, that's the way it seems. Shouldn't be the reason why you act strange. If nobody's holding you back from me. Cause I know how you usually do. When you're saying everything to me, don't you? Why can't you just tell the truth? If somebody's dead, then tell me who. Say my name, say my name. Baby, I love you.
on your computer, on your Wi-Fi radio, on your iPhone. Commercial-free original talk, only on LA Talk Radio, your favorite talk station.
Hello, this is George Takei, and I am truly excited to have Sam and Susie in the Morning on my internet radio. Those two are a hoot. I swear if I was heterosexual, I'd ask Susie out on a date. Of course, I'm homosexual, so I'll be asking Sam out instead. Oh my. And now let's get back to Sam and Susie in the Morning on LA Talk Radio.
Yes, and the sultry music.
Smooth jazz. With Kenny G.
Gay wow. Actor.
Oh, boy.
All right. Well, whoever's been trying to call, please call us now. We can't answer your call during the breaks, unfortunately. And so are you good?
I'm good to go? I'm good.
Okay.
Yeah.
So going back to this Palestinian guy, I want to understand. So you see that he approached you already with this certain amount of hatred,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So I wasn't wrong.
And he just kept saying, like, how ignorant you are on the subject and blah, 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 and how he really hoped.
Yeah. I'm ignorant and he's not. I've lived there. I mean, I lived there for 16 years.
You know what? I actually told him, I told him to call into TJ's show. Mm-hmm. I was like, call not this week because he's, on vacation.
Right.
I was like, but next week you really need to call in from noon to two
and
really have another debate with this guy.
Yeah, with TJ. But you know what?
Because TJ, I don't think will be as nice as you were.
Yeah. But you notice he just told you that again. He, this is his, what's the,
M.O.,
thank you very much.
See, I'm psychic.
Yes, thank goodness I have you here, because otherwise I'd sound like shit. But yeah, that's his M.O., is to put someone else down, to be condescending. You know, how possibly can a 22-year-old who was born here and raised
in San
here,
Diego.
Yes, in fucking San Diego, he wants to tell me what things are like in Israel and how things were 50 years ago almost. Fuck, it's scary to think that. But 48 years ago, I was born, you know? So he wants to fucking tell me what the wars were like, you know? So, so I think he just, you give him a rope and he hangs himself every time, you know?
Yes.
And so that's why...
It's sad. I feel badly.
Yeah, because, you know, why now it's like people are going to think he represents the Palestinians. And that's not the case at all. I'm sure we could get someone here who's intelligent, okay? And he tells me that I'm coming from emotion when we were talking, okay? If anybody was emotional, it was him.
Yes.
And... you know, so that's what I'm trying to say. You see, when there's
Sam,
hatred,
I see it very clearly.
When there's hatred, it doesn't matter what you say anymore. You know, it's just it's
everything you're saying is fact based, and you know you are the right one. And even though
yeah, you know, okay, let's try and get this call now. Good morning, you're on the air with Sam and Susie.
Good morning, it's Karen Anderson.
Good morning, Karen. Have you been trying to call? I apologize. I think you were calling during the break. How you doing?
Yeah, I have been.
Yeah, how you doing, Karen?
Doing just great. How are you guys?
We're great.
Very well.
Where are you calling us from?
I'm in Spokane, Washington.
Oh, nice.
Wonderful.
I love Washington. So this is so thank you so much for the book. You sent me your book. It's called Hear All Creatures, The Journey of an Animal Communicator. And apparently you're a big deal when it comes to animals, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm actually a Southern California native. I grew up in Fullerton.
Oh, really? Nice. Okay, so you're a neighbor. So how did this all start? I mean, well, first tell us why you go by animal communicator. What is it that you're able to do that, let's say, most people can't?
Well, I really think that most people can if they go through the steps to learn how to understand the animals, because those of us who have animals... we become quite bonded to them.
Yes.
And I think sometimes, actually, and Susie may even agree with me, that we bond more closely to our animal companions than we do some of our own relatives and friends.
Absolutely.
That's true. That's true.
And truly, you guys, I think everybody is born with this ability. I did not go to a school except the School of Hard Knocks. I learned on my own and from practicing, and I think you can become certified in certain areas and go to different schools, which are wonderful schools to go to, but I didn't attend any of those. There weren't any around where I lived. But I just practice with the animals, and that's how I teach people. And I can teach someone to do this in about 15 minutes if they're open to it and if they aren't, of course, cynical and debunking it and all of that. So it's actually a very easy process to learn. I think everybody has the ability to learn how to do it.
See, you know what? I like where you're coming from with this, because I have a lot of, like, psychic friends and everything. And, I mean, I really think they're just kind of, like, I don't know, hocus pocus,
whacked out,
like hippie dippy new age people that are trying to, like, you know, be something they're not. But with animals, I really feel like that you really can create, like, a special bond with them and really learn how to communicate with them. So I think you're legit.
Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you for your support, you guys. And I just want you to know that I'm also a former cop. I was a deputy sheriff in Colorado. And if anybody was skeptical of anything, I was. If you didn't have proof and evidence, you didn't have a case.
Oh, so what a
really
change in lifestyle.
Yeah. So
I think cops are naturally intuitive. They won't say that they're intuitive. They'll say they have a gut feeling about something, or they'll say that they just knew that this person did it or whatever. But they're very intuitive, and I don't think you can be a good cop unless you are intuitive and you really listen to that inner voice, because sometimes it can really save your life.
Right.
Yeah.
So how did you stumble upon this? I mean, at what point did you decide, I can actually communicate with animals?
Well, it was actually an urgent message from one of my own cats who was having a medical condition, and I write all about it in my book, Hear All Creatures, which you guys have there. And it's really a wonderful book. It is written about how I discovered that I could understand the animals. Again, I used to be able to understand them when I was a little kid growing up in San Dimas, California. And I shut it off after a terrible accident with a cat happened, and I blamed myself for that, which is in the book too. But as an adult, I stumbled upon it again because I do animal rescue, and I'm a volunteer, and I had a lot of cats and animals at the time, and I was having some behavior problems, and I stumbled upon it again, and it was basically the snowball effect. Once I kind of threw myself into it and I started practicing, it was like all these doors and windows started opening up, and it just blew me away. The messages that came through were amazing. I've had some messages recently in sessions where, for example, a deceased dog came through and told his mom to get her, human mom, I call you their moms and dads,
mm-hmm.
told his human mom to get her checkup and her glands checked, that there was something wrong in the glands that which was keeping her up at night. She went and had it checked out, and sure enough, turns out she has breast cancer.
Oh,
and
no.
She is due for surgery on Thursday, but they think that they caught it early enough. It went into her glands, into the lymph nodes. So this is why I do this work, because she emailed me back telling me that I was helpful in saving her life, because she wasn't due for her exam for a very long time. And that's why I do this work. Yesterday I had a deceased grandfather come through. The animals will bring through deceased loved ones sometimes. Once you open the door, you just never know who's going to come through. But a deceased grandfather came through last night during a session teasing his granddaughter about the Birkenstocks that she wears. You just never know. The messages can be anything from funny to very serious.
Yeah, so what do you mean you had a session? What does that involve?
Well, I do almost all my sessions over the phone, because I don't need to be anywhere near you or the person or the animal. And then I like to work off of a photograph, because if I have a photograph of the animal, it's like having that animal's cell phone number. I can dial them up direct when I connect with them.
Right.
And then we go through a series of questions, whatever the person wants to know about their animal, and it can be anything from a behavior problem to, I get a lot of death and dying, like somebody, their animal is very sick, and they just want to make sure that it's the animal's time, that they're ready to go, because every animal is different. Some of them want to stay and fight it out, and other ones, they're just tired of it, and they don't want to be in a body that's failing them anymore. And if you've ever had to make that decision of having to euthanize your animal, you know how agonizing
that is. It's the worst feeling in the world.
It is. And wouldn't you really like to know how the animal feels about it? I mean, that would at least give you something of peace of mind about the decision, even though it's a terrible decision. So I get a lot of those questions. And like today, I have a full day full of sessions, and they range anywhere from litter box problems to behavioral problems between two dogs that live in the same house to end-of-life concerns. I have people calling me with health issues when their vets can't determine what's wrong. Sometimes we can see what's going on or find out where the animal's hurting. They can tell me where they hurt or where they feel pain.
So how do they communicate with you? Is this like psychically?
You know, that the word psychic is really has a bad rap, and it's because of all the old stories of people ripping people off. And I would just like to challenge anybody that's listening to name any profession, no matter what it is, from mortgage industry on down to car sales and auto repair and whatever, where there aren't people trying to take advantage of you.
Right.
Yes.
And unfortunately, there are in this field, too. There are people who will try to take advantage of you. And that makes me very sad. But you really can't name a profession where that doesn't occur. You just have to be smart about who you choose to work with. And you go by referrals.
Right.
And also listen to that inner voice, that gut feeling. But
right. But to go back to the question, though, how do you communicate with the animals?
Well, you were asking if it was psychic.
I just meant like let's say telepathy or something. I mean, can you read their mind? Is that what it is?
Well, it's a little bit like this, Sam. It's a little bit like I can understand their thoughts and their feelings, and they will also flash images at me. So when they send me a message, it sounds like a thought in my own head, but I know it's not my thought because I know I'm not thinking about chicken or litter boxes or whatever it is they're sending me. And I'm able to hear full sentences sometimes, and it sounds just like a thought in my mind. And when I say a thought in my mind,
meow 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 meow.
Right, it's in English. Even my clients in Japan and foreign countries, their animals speak English to me. I receive messages in my frame of understanding. They send messages to me so I will understand them.
Wow.
And so it's more like, I believe there are psychic abilities at use, clairaudience, clairsentience, clairvoyance, but the message is transmitted energetically. It's an energetic message. It's a thought message is what it is.
Karen, have you ever done any work with lizards?
Lizards?
Yes, I breed bearded dragons.
Yeah, that's why I have communicated
with snakes in the past,
mm-hmm.
But I can't say that I have actually connected with any lizards.
The reason I'm asking is because right now I have a breeding pair, and the female that I have is fairly new, and I kind of feel like she, you know, has just resigned herself to her lot in life, to being like stopped all day, and you know, kind of just being like a producer of eggs. And that's not really why I have them. You know, I love them, and you know, if the eggs actually come to fruition and hatch, it's wonderful. But the reason I'm asking is because the last two batches of eggs that she's had, she hasn't like released them in the appropriate time frame, and she just has seemed very, very, very unhappy during her pregnancy. And then I think as soon as I put the eggs in the incubator, every time they've died. And then I just feel awful, like putting her back in the cage with her mate, who ends up like, you know, the sex is kind of violent with the lizards. He bites her on the back of the neck and like pulls her head back.
Oh wow!
And she's kind of like clawing to get away. And I kind of feel like I want to know what's going on inside her head, like, you know, because she doesn't really seem like to fight it that much. But I really feel like she's just kind of resigned herself to it. And I want to know if maybe I should, you know, separate the lizards or what really is going on in her little head.
Well, you know, it's very interesting the whole time that you're telling me the story. I can hear her talking in the background, and I really hear from her, it's kind of heartbreaking. She says she really doesn't want to be there, that it's just it's not what she wants. I actually see her in her own separate area. I see her kind of doing her own thing and not being used as a breeding, part of a breeding pair. It's not what she wants to do. Her heart isn't in it. And I think that your own intuition on it was right on, that you were thinking that she's only in it half-heartedly. She is only in it half-heartedly. She's telling me, I really don't want to be here. That's what I keep hearing the whole time that you're telling me this story. And it's very sad.
So she doesn't love her mate?
Pardon me?
So she really doesn't love her mate? She doesn't love Bacchus?
I'm not feeling the love.
No love there.
Aww.
Only love from Susie. Yeah.
Okay.
This is amazing.
Maybe if he would leave her alone.
I know.
Yeah, isn't that the story?
Like most men.
Yeah.
Just leave me alone.
I know.
You know what I recommend, Susie? I recommend just giving her own space for a while, letting her become her own lizard, her own, whatever she wants to be, and giving her own space and letting her do her own thing for a while, and maybe then reintroducing her on a slow basis or,
okay.
you know, just
that
on
makes
a
sense.
Supervised basis, because she's telling me, I really don't want to be here, I really don't want to be here. And tell her that she's there for other reasons, like to be companionship for you or friend to you or whatever her reasons are, because I have a very sad heart when I look at her.
That's actually kind of why I bought her in the first place. I found her at the pet store when I was there to pick up crickets, and she was just this old beat up lizard. And you know, she just looked like she had been around the block a couple, you know, like an old prostitute or something. And I was just like, oh, this poor thing. And at the time I had a male lizard, and I was like, you know, maybe they would be a good pair. But you know, at the same time, he was just very young and vivacious, and he always just wants to. And so I kind of thought I would rescue her from her misery in the pet store, but now I feel like I've, like, enslaved her again on some level.
Well, like I said, it's very, very sweet that you want to rescue her and give her a good place, but I think she's probably been around the block enough times, and maybe she needs some time off.
You know what? I actually have a friend that lives up in Topanga up here, and it's a family. And they built this entire, like, bearded dragon-like refuge, and they're outside, like, this huge, 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 like, you know, kind of like Jackson Never Never Land for lizards. And they haven't gotten a lizard yet, so I was wondering if maybe I should send her there on, like, a little vacation and see how her feelings change.
I think that's a really good start. And, you know, everybody has the same ability that I have if they take the time to pay attention and to listen. And I think that you're right on with this one, Susie. I would support you 100% if you were to send her to a nice lizard recreational facility. She needs it. I think she really does. She deserves it, too. She's had a tough life, it looks like.
Yeah, I see that in her eyes. I really do.
No, well.
Sam doesn't believe us right now.
No, I do. I do.
he actually hates my lizard, Karen.
I kind of have a problem with attributing human traits to animals or thoughts or whatever.
Personification.
But I guess, yeah, that's the skeptic in me, you know. But, I mean, you are America's animal communicator. And Karen Anderson, I mean, thank you so much. Susie, what's the title again of the book?
It's Hear All Creatures, The Journey of an Animal Communicator.
Amazing, amazing. And, well, all the best to you. And I know that you're passionate about what you do, and it comes through in the book, I think. And, well, I wish you all the best. I mean, you're definitely unique in what you can do.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Karen.
Okay, Karen Anderson from Washington State. Spokane, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Interesting stuff, Susie. I mean, we're talking, like, all about psychics today and shit.
I know.
You know?
Wow. My mom has a dog whisperer for her dog, Max.
Really?
Yes. My sister and I are kind of resentful of this dog because, like, all of a sudden, like, you know, the kids fled the nest, so to speak. Uh-huh. I mean, left the nest. Sorry, Mom. And all of a sudden, she goes to the animal shelter, and she rescues this little, it's kind of a dachshund, a long-haired dachshund named Max.
Right.
All of a sudden, this dog is eating better than anyone in the family has ever eaten. This dog's on a fucking raw food diet, you know, getting his lamb every morning or getting, he's eating the most ornate things you don't even know. She goes to, like, the farmer's market and chops up all these, like, collard greens and all these vegetables to mix in with the lamb.
Yeah.
But the dog has an anxiety disorder.
Really?
It can't be left alone. And now all of a sudden, that's all my mother will talk about is this dog. Yes. Actually, this name, Binks Montgomery, came up on TJ's show the other day. So let me just tell this story
quickly. Okay.
So no one can walk this fucking dog except for my mom. And I say fucking dog, I mean, I love it dearly because it really has filled a void in my mother,
right.
You know, that was there before. But at the same time, it's like, you know what, for God's sake, Mom, like, there are other people in your life, like, pay attention to your family.
Exactly. And that's a problem I have is sometimes people are more compassionate to animals than they are to people.
You know, I definitely am compassionate both to animals and people.
Right.
I have a good balance, but I know what you mean. Some people are just, like, over the top with it. But this is just kind of a funny little story. So my mom ended up leaving, this was right on her birthday, to take one of her classes to New York City for a Broadway show.
Right.
And so no one was going to be home to walk the dog. So my mom's neighbor, this lady Lila, was like, oh, Kathy, I'll walk the dog. My mom said, Lila, like, the dog won't let you walk him. And Lila's like, it's okay, you know, I'll give me the key and I'll just go over and let the dog out. So Lila goes into the house and the dog's nowhere to be found. And so she goes upstairs to my mom's room and finds the dog under the bed. So Lila goes back downstairs, gets a piece of cheese, crawls under the bed. The dog comes flying out of the bed and bites her in the face. It's not funny. It actually...
No, it sounds funny. Oh my God.
And Lila's like one of these like little country, you know, they're both members of at the country club together. Uh-huh. And, you know, it's just this whole network of ladies that play golf and, you know, they do whatever. So you can just imagine this woman like on her hands and knees with a piece of cheese to get the dog out of the bed. She ended up having to get plastic surgery on her face.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's funny.
And this poor woman also has to listen to my mother nonstop. Oh, and Max did this today, Lila. Oh, you wouldn't believe what Max said. Oh, he's so cute.
And she hates a fucking dog.
And so it gets to the point where if I call my house, you've reached Kathy and John and Max. And Max is barking for 20 goddamn minutes on the answering machine. I'm like, what the fuck, Mom? But so the story just got out of control because, you know, Lila was like, Kathy, I'm not going to tell any of our friends, you know, that Max bit my face. You know, I'm just going to get the plastic surgery done and whatever. We're going to move on. But if I hear one more word about this goddamn dog, I swear to God. And so my mom was just kind of like, you know, hurt by that, but she understood.
Yeah.
At least she didn't have to put her dog to sleep.
Yeah, I know.
But
I'm surprised.
Spread like wildfire, Sam, through the country club. So my grandma's at the club playing golf, and all of a sudden she sees Lila. My grandma yells across the golf club, Lila, how's your face after Max bit it? At which point all the other ladies in the golf course are just like, Max bit Lila's face. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And my mom didn't find out about it until she was in the grocery store, and this woman, Binks Montgomery, walks up, and she's like, oh, Kathy, I can't believe that Max bit Lila in the face. Yeah. Oh, my God. So, like, it's just a whole drama in my family. Wow. So now Max has a dog whisperer to get over his anxiety is the whole point of it. So he's got a psychic, too.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's helping.
No.
Yes.
So what are you going to do with your lizard now? You sent her on a vacation?
I think I've actually really been thinking about it. I really just feel very badly for her. She just kind of, it's not a sadness really in her eyes. It's just that she's just resigned herself to just being fucked. And I really just feel like she's unhappy when she gets pregnant and doesn't know what to do.
Oh. That makes sense.
I know. Well, shut up. Seriously.
No, it does.
So I think I might send her to the lizard Never Never Land. Really? Seriously, I have to, you know, I've got to do what's best for my animals. And that's why when I moved to California, I found homes for my pets because I knew I was going to be living a transient lifestyle.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be fair to them to be, you know, living with me in this lifestyle.
Right, right.
So,
I mean, look, I can understand having a dog or a cat. Okay, mm-hmm. You sometimes get some response. But what with a lizard? I mean, what do you get out of them?
Everyone loves my lizards, except for you.
Forget
they are
about
so much fun.
Them. Really? What
they
do
really
they do?
Are.
Do they interact with you?
They do interact with me. They actually recognize me by scent, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Back when I was in boarding school, I was allowed to bring my pet lizard. I've had these things forever, Sam.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And the same ones?
Not the same ones.
Not
you know,
the same ones.
They've died and reproduced. And, you know, actually one of the ones I have right now, I hatched 5 years ago.
Ah.
And I had his parents, you know, way before that.
Wow.
I've had generations of lizards going on. I'm like a great-great-great-grandmother in the lizard world.
I'm telling you, my God.
But actually, you would actually cringe at this little story. So it was my first week in boarding school, and I had my lizard in my room. And because I had decided to go very late, like literally a week before school started, I decided to go. I didn't get to pick my dorm room. And so I was on a hall with all Korean students. It was me and like 20 girls from, like straight off the boat from Korea that don't even speak English. And they're like, ah, da, 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 yeah, yeah, yeah. Or however, whatever their language is. I'm sorry. I'm very bad with the Korean accent. But so all of a sudden I have this huge box of crickets. And it's about 1,000 large adult crickets in this box.
Uh-huh.
And it's all kinds of egg crate and things in there. So I try to get the crickets out of the box and put them in a little cage.
Mm-hmm.
I drop the box after I opened it.
Wow.
1,000 large crickets dispersed instantly. And they start running to the door. And they run out of the door, or through my door, and into the Korean girls' rooms.
Oh, God.
Thousands of crickets are now chirp, chirp, chirping. They're screaming. You know, the
I'm
whole
sure.
hall's infested
oh,
with
God,
bugs.
I wish I could have been there. There must have been hilarious.
Oh my God. My face was so red. I was so embarrassed. I slammed my door shut and I pretended it wasn't me. I'm like, oh no. But anyway, so back to the lizards. So we did a whole experiment in my animal behavior class on if the lizards recognize me as their mother by scent.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that they do.
Really?
Time and time again, I've had them at the beach in precarious situations where a seagull will fly overhead, a potential predator, or a wave will come and like splash them. And they, out of hundreds of people at the beach, will always come running back to me.
Really?
They recognize me by scent. They know I'm their protector.
That's
they
amazing.
Know I feed them.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, I've done this with tons of lizards.
Yeah. You see, and that's the thing. I mean, I'm sure that animals feel that way, but I don't think they have any thought process per se.
Well, you know what? Whether it's just a reaction, you know what I mean? And they're just reacting to knowing that I feed them. They always, you know, are well taken care of when they're with me.
Yeah.
You know, when I bring them to play with the little kids that I nanny for, they get their tails pulled and the dogs at the house, like, try and eat them. And the lizards always come back to me. They're like, mommy, mommy.
That's nice.
You look very skeptical and bored.
No. I believe it. I believe it. You know, I mean, animals are like that, you know. But that's what I'm saying. I think it's the instinct just to keep going back to where you get fed, you know. I mean, that's what animals are about. When you think about what an animal does all day is search for food, you know.
They don't have to, they just sit there and it gets delivered to them.
Exactly.
They've got a wonderful life.
Right, but that's what I'm saying though. I mean, to them food is important, so they go back to where they get it. I hate to break your heart, but I think that's what it is.
You can't break my heart because what I believe, and that's
exactly.
One little lizard story, and we'll change the subject.
Thank
back
you.
To balls or something.
Thank
I don't
you.
Know. So when I was living in my Venice apartment, I left Bacchus home alone with Franz.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, no one wants to be left home alone with Franz, so Bacchus ran away. Bacchus is like, it smells in here. I'm out of here. So the lizard seriously like took off out of the apartment and was lost on the streets of Venice.
Wow.
When I came home and I couldn't find my lizard, I was like, you lost my lizard. Mm-hmm. We took all of the furniture out of that apartment. We searched every corner. The lizard was gone. I put signs up all over the neighborhood. 5 days, mm-hmm. that lizard was roaming the streets of Venice. Roaming
really?
The streets of Venice.
Yeah.
He should have been hit by a car. He should have been
yeah.
eaten by a seagull.
Yeah.
You know, some picked up by somebody. But no, you don't understand. I come back from a Thai massage 5 days later. That fucking lizard is sitting on my doorstep.
Wow, Susie. How large is this lizard?
You met Spikeette.
I have?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you brought it to the studio.
I brought it to the old studio.
Wow, yeah, that was pretty gross and big.
It's not gross at all. They're beautiful and amazing creatures.
Mm.
You actually, you have a shared relative. You used to be a lizard back a million years ago.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, and who was my relative?
Bearded Dragons.
Oh, I see, okay.
I just did like all the phylogenies and stuff in biology.
Mm-hmm.
And so we actually share part of the similar brain structure.
Oh, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. We're all living things. I mean,
so
what the
don't
fuck?
Call them disgusting.
Okay. What can I say? I'm not into reptiles, you
okay,
know?
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. But just don't say they're disgusting.
I won't say that.
Just say, it's not my favorite thing, Susie.
Okay.
Try and be positive.
You're right. I need to give your lizards a little more respect.
Instead of telling me that my boyfriend is disgusting and that we're Beauty and the Beast.
Did I say that?
You said that yesterday. You're like, Jesus Christ, Susie, it's like Beauty and the Beast. Which, by the way, the Beast is moving onto a school bus.
He's moving into a school bus?
He's moving into a school bus in Hollywood.
And how does that happen?
We were at Craft Night yesterday, and our girlfriend, our guy friend there, you know, has a short, it's not even a full-size bus, it's a short bus.
Okay.
So yeah, he's moving onto this bus, and I wish him.
Are there other people living in that bus?
No, just him. And he only has like he has like one. He doesn't have to pay rent or anything, but he just has to do one thing:
mm-hmm.
make sure he like puts his tag on the door and make sure other homeless people do not invade the bus.
I see.
How weird is that?
Oh, fuck.
Can you imagine?
And this is who you go to bed with?
No, I think I'm done going to bed with him. Actually,
what?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I don't think I heard it right.
I think you did hear it correctly.
Really?
I think I'm done.
What happened?
I don't know.
You think it was the time when he was away? Have you lost some feelings?
I haven't. I still love him. I really do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's just something about him that I always will love.
Right.
But yesterday, you know, when he took off his pants and the sweaty ball smell, and I was just like, oh, my God. And then, you know, we were at this party last night. He was running around the party, like, in boxers that he didn't even know whose they were or where he got them from. And it was just kind of, I don't know, I feel that I'm not really in love with him anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like I've grown a little bit, Sam.
Oh, Susie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I'm ready. I'm really ready for J-Date.
Are you really? Okay,
I'm
well, I've been
J-Date.
Waiting. I didn't know what was going on. I've been waiting.
And TJ actually said he's got a date to set me up on, too. I really think I want to go for someone who's got a job and a job and maybe a job.
Yeah. That would help. Huh?
It's my only criteria.
Yeah.
Have a penis and a job.
And clean, too, I think.
And clean. Yeah. Well, usually if you have a job, like, you're kind of required to be clean.
I guess.
So, you know, the two kind of go hand in hand.
That's true. That's true. He seems like so aimlessly wandering around the world, not really knowing what he wants to do.
Yeah. Like, even though I'm a gypsy kind of in spirit, and I do kind of travel around a lot and, you know, go flip from here to here. Actually, it's more of jet setting. I'm going to erase this and put jet setter.
Yeah. Eventually, you'll have to, yeah.
Oh, I know, right? I could do that on the other side.
Yeah, that's true.
Ooh.
A jet setting gypsy.
A jet setting gypsy. Yes, Sam, I love it.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah. So, okay. So you're gonna look for a beauty to complement your beauty, rather than another.
It doesn't even
beast.
It doesn't even have to be beauty. I really have. I've got the most diverse taste in men in the world. Mm. Like, if I seriously took pictures of every guy I ever dated or slept with or whatever, you would just be like, "Oh my God, I didn't know there were this many colors in the rainbow."
Really? So they're totally different from each other.
Totally different. I mean, wow. Some are just so completely hot and sexy and just, oh my God. Like, everyone in the, I walk into the room, people are just like, oh my God. Mm. And other ones, you know, they're the fat, funny types, or like the Chris Farley types that everyone just like wants to be around or laugh.
Yeah.
Or like completely athletic or completely not athletic, you know, or a computer geek, and I'm so far from these things.
Yeah.
Or dirty hippies that wear skirts with no underwear.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't discriminate. That's my point.
No, you don't. You don't. But I think this thing has probably run its course. And you know, sometimes these things, or many times these things happen when someone's away for a while. It's like suddenly you're able to look at things objectively when you're not involved in the relationship, and you're able to look at it differently, you know, and you go, well, what the fuck am I doing, you know? I just
want someone that respects me and someone that I respect. Yeah. And you know what? Lisa, my roommate, actually, Franz showed up Saturday. No, is it Saturday? No, he shows up Sunday after being gone for like, you know, 36 hours, no communication whatsoever.
Right.
You know, I mean, yes, I was partying at the house and I was doing my own thing, but it would still be nice to have a phone call or something from your significant other being like, hey, babe, just wanted to check in and be like, I'm here, I'm there doing this or that. And, you know, he just doesn't have the respect to, like, call me or let me know these things, and he never will.
Mm.
And in turn, when he shows up at my house the next day, you know, we end up, like, getting in a fight.
Yeah.
And I start saying kind of mean things to him.
Right.
And,
yeah.
Well, and I don't really like myself when I start treating him that way.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize it until Lisa sat us down. She's like, all right, cut the shit, both of you. She's like, all right, Susie, this is what you do to him, and it makes him feel this way. Franz, this is what you do to Susie, and it makes her feel this way.
Yes.
So either you guys get your shit together, or get both of you get out of my house. And we both sat there pouting like little kids that have been like yelled at.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
And we both agreed to be nice to each other and to not treat each other that way, but...
Okay.
What are you looking at online over there?
I'm looking at because...
are you looking at naked pictures?
No. I'm getting instant messages here and I get distracted, but...
who are you getting instant messages from?
This is Greg Rempe. He does the Barbecue Central show.
Oh, yes.
On
Hi,
Tuesday.
Greg.
And he says, plug my Thanksgiving show tonight, you Jew.
Mm.
Okay, so...
Hey, only I'm allowed to call him a Jew.
Yeah, well, he does all our voices, Greg. Borat and,
plug my show,
and
you
Ted
Jew.
Kennedy and stuff. So, okay, so let's plug it. Greg has probably the best, most fun barbecue show that I think exists. You know, and I haven't listened to many, but...
A barbecue show sounds hysterical.
Not hysterical. I mean, it's about serious stuff, you know.
Like cooking?
But yeah, it's about cooking and stuff. I mean, there's a whole thing about, you know, grilling, barbecuing, whatever. You
wow.
know? Yeah, it's a whole thing, you know. And I can imagine. Last night I grilled some steaks or lamb.
When are you inviting me over for dinner, by the way? I want to come over for some good home cooking.
As soon as we start to cook, my wife and I.
Oh, no.
We make a lot more reservations than dinner, let me tell you.
I want some good matzo ball soup that's homemade.
Mm, okay. Well, don't come to me. I don't know the first thing about cooking. Man.
Put in my request with your wife. You're like, Susie wants to come over for dinner.
That's the thing she likes least.
Really?
Is to cook, yeah. But she's just amazing, you know. Sometimes I'll have to devote a show to her of how great she is. You know, it's like I get up every morning and I'm thinking... God, you know, I mean, the stuff she does for me, I mean, she totally takes care of me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Anything
You're
I need.
You're just a big baby.
Well, you know, yes, when I'm busy 24 hours, yes. But regardless, I mean, she doesn't have to do this. You know, with my first wife, it was always like, gimme, 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 you know? It's like, here I am, you know? And this one is like total opposite.
That's
you know?
Wonderful.
Yeah. So I think I definitely recommend second marriages, not third and fourth, but maybe
or
second.
Or do it right the first time.
Yeah, which is hard to do.
I don't know. That's why I've been engaged 4 times and I cut all 4 of them off. I'm going to really do it right the first time.
Exactly. Yeah. Don't rush into it. You know, you got to feel that this is the right person, you know, that
exactly.
you can be you, you know, and maybe that's what you like about Franz. You can be you, you know,
mm-hmm.
but I think you can be like that with other people.
But I'm
know?
A me I don't always necessarily like when I'm with him.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know what?
Like
all I have to tell you is
me.
This. All I have to tell you is this, okay? And I'm really not trying to be mean to him or anything. I think he's a great guy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that I can't, you know, when you walk into a place with him next to you, it's not, it doesn't help your image.
No.
It really doesn't, Susie.
My mother was like, that's your boyfriend?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're really out of hand. I mean, he's almost homeless. I mean, he is homeless.
He is homeless.
It's a homeless guy that you're dating and going to bed with. My
mm-hmm.
God, Susie.
I know.
You know, I mean, good sex or not good sex, there's a lot of good sex out there. You'll find it.
Well, you
just
know what? I am actually proclaiming myself celibate from this moment on out until I find a worthwhile companion.
Which will probably be tonight or tomorrow.
Fuck you.
Yeah, don't make commitments like this. Come on.
No. You know what?
Really?
This is actually going to be a hell of a lot easier than quitting drinking.
Yeah.
That's for fucking sure.
Maybe you should take a break from guys and go with a girl sometime.
No, you know, girls are way too
anymore.
Bitchy. They're
yeah?
way too bitchy to deal with. They really, really, really are.
Really? What about if just for sex? You can't just have sex with a girl?
No.
No, for you guys, it has to be more.
It has to be emotional and, yeah it's, you know.
Well.
I like being stuffed like a Thanksgiving turkey. Oh, God, sorry.
Sounds good. Thanksgiving is next week, right? Next
is
Thursday.
Is it already?
Yeah, next Thursday.
Wow.
I know.
Are your plans?
I don't know. I kind of wanted to go out of town, but that's a nice dream, you know? I don't know. Maybe if a lot of people don't do shows, I'll be able to take some time off.
Well, if you and your wife want to come to Vegas, I'm going to Vegas.
Are you really?
Yeah, I'm taking Lisa with me to Vegas. We're going to stay at my dad and his girlfriend's house.
Cool.
And then Rachel, who called in on the show,
mm-hmm.
my girl from biology class,
right.
the one who crawled into bed and found her mom's 10-foot dildo.
Yes, the big Bob.
Bob.
The big dildo Bob.
Yes.
Was it a black dildo?
Uh-huh.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. So she's going to be in Vegas with like her entire extended family. You know, she was telling us that everyone's either a transvestite or a gay or
yeah.
something. It's going to be crazy and hysterical.
Wow.
And as well as my girlfriend Ariel, who's got property of Ted Nugent, Nugget, no, whatever his name is.
Ted Nugent.
Nugent. I don't know why I can't say that. Tattooed on her ass.
Yeah.
She's going to be out there and she's a hoot.
Wow.
So I'm just going to go out there and have a good old time and just be drunk.
They'll be blessed.
Be drunk
yeah.
and happy with family and eat and be fat.
Yeah, but just be prepared for a very long drive because everybody's going to fucking Vegas on Thanksgiving.
Well, I'm going to leave at 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock on Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm.
So that shouldn't be too bad.
I don't know.
At 11 o'clock on a Wednesday?
You'd be surprised. But, I mean, I wish you the best. I mean, I don't know. But all I can tell you is a lot of people go out of town during the holiday. And may not be a great idea. But although we took a trip to Sequoia like 2 years ago, was
mm-hmm.
it? Or last... No, 2 years ago, I think.
And they didn't have a good hotel, and then you ended up going to San Fran.
Exactly.
You spoiled brat.
Yeah, but that was on Thanksgiving, you know, and I don't think actually there was a lot of people on the road, but maybe before and after, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like coming back on like a Sunday night or something, you know, you would hit the massive rush hour traffic.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of a night owl when I don't have the show to do in the morning.
Yeah.
You've turned me into a fucking morning person, you
bastard. Oh, my God. How terrible. Now you actually can do something during your day.
I have the longest days now. Like, they're so long.
I know.
They're really, really long.
What time did you used to get up at?
Oh, God, before this show, I would wake up at like 12:30, between 12:30
God,
and 2:30
Susie,
every day.
Of course that's a big change for you, my
a
God.
A huge change.
Yeah.
Really, really is.
Good. I'm sure your mom is proud of you now.
I don't know.
At least you have a structure to your life.
I don't think she really knows what goes on in my life so much.
Yeah.
I don't think she listens to the show. But I will say my father, my sister told me that my father was really pleasantly shocked and surprised about like the change in me, because when I was in Vegas last time, I was sitting at the kitchen table, you know, obviously with a glass of wine, but I was doing my math homework for like hours,
right.
while everyone else was like taking wow. naps and being drunk and doing this. And my dad was like, "Wow, she's really serious about her school."
Yeah,
and it's wow, you know, I'm really proud of her.
Yeah.
As in, like, "Daddy, can I have gas money and groceries?" Well, whatever. It's taken me some time to get my shit together, but
yeah,
one day I'll
kids.
Be like you, Sam.
Yeah,
not have my
kids.
Own business.
Yes. Oh, man.
And I never finished my rant from the beginning of the show. You never let me finish it.
Me?
Yes.
Me?
You said kids, and so it brought it up to me.
Okay.
You should tell your daughter to go on rateyourprofessor.com. It's a wonderful... ratemyprofessor.com, I'm sorry. It's okay. A wonderful tool for any students we have out here that are listening to the show, because I know a lot of them are. But you can go on this thing and you can actually rate your professor and other students can go on.
Yeah, this is rate, not rape.
Rate.
Okay.
So is it sounding rape, like rape?
Yeah, it sounded like rape your professor.
Oh, no,
when you
rate.
Said it a couple times.
R-A-T-E.
Well, those sometimes I felt like raping my professors.
Really?
Yeah.
Sam, that's a whole nother show. But so anyway, I decided to go on this website to evaluate my statistics professor, mm-hmm. the fucking communist from the Ukraine. And there were 100 answers that students had filled in about this guy.
Uh-huh.
99 of them were overwhelmingly negative, saying he is the worst professor I've ever had. He takes pleasure in giving you Fs. He's a communist. Deport him. Send him back to this fucking, you know, wherever he came from. I couldn't believe it. I should have read all these things before I took the class.
Right. And how long ago were these things written? I mean, are they pretty recent?
People are adding them on a daily basis, and, right. and it goes back like 3 to 5 years.
God, can you imagine how terrible? I remember when I was subbing mm-hmm. at the LA school district, I also found a website like that for rating the teachers. And, you know, so I used to go to a lot of different schools, so different schools would rate me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of stuff there, but when they did, it's like, he always yells, you know, he always talks too much.
Oh,
he
no!
always So, yeah, I guess teaching wasn't my place, but now...
he talking, always yells.
Yeah, for talking too much, I'm in the right place. Yeah, because they're fucking assholes. I'm telling you, you become like a cop when you teach.
Oh, no.
You know? Fucking, it's because I was subbing.
When
you know?
You yell at kids, though, I mean, it really doesn't do any good.
No, but I wasn't yelling. I was just raising my voice, you know,
but that
so people
sounds
can
like,
hear me.
But it sounds like it's
yeah,
yelling
I
to
suppose,
some people.
Yeah, I suppose.
And Sam,
yeah.
I know when you raise
but
your voice.
But they can't hear you when they're so fucking loud.
Oh, trust me, they can.
Yeah. So you think when I raise my voice, I'm pretty scary?
Well, you just get very... No, I think it's kind of funny.
Of course you would.
You get your panties in a bunch, and I'm just like, ah-ha. Oh, I'm sorry.
You're terrible. Let's take one more break before we leave
sure.
for the day.
Why
sure,
not?
Why not?
Why the hell not?
Okay.
What else are we going to do?
We'll be back right after this.
Looking for a great place to relax, eat fast food, and get fat? Well, then come to Huntington, West Virginia. The Centers for Disease Control calls Huntington the unhealthiest city in America, but we call it good eating. Visitors can enjoy knowing that this great city not only leads the country in heart disease and obesity, but also tops the nation in the percentage of pizza places per square block and elderly people who have lost all their teeth. And the shopping's never been better. Our outlet mall has the most popular stores like Lane Bryant, Men's Big and Tall Shops, and Cinnabon. So, if you've had it with your healthy lifestyle, come and clog your arteries in the number one place in America where exercise is frowned upon. Huntington, West Virginia.
On your computer, on your Wi-Fi radio, on your iPhone, commercial-free original talk. Only on LA Talk Radio. Your favorite talk station. Talk station.
Around and we find that something's not right. The only
We got a few minutes left, and I wanted to finish the plug for Greg's show tonight on his Barbecue Central. He's going to be talking about barbecuing a turkey.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh, a barbecued turkey.
Yeah, I never thought of it before.
I know,
that you can actually
either.
Do that.
Wow, that would be amazing.
I don't know, though, because I would think turkey takes a long time to cook inside, right? So you probably have to cut it or something, no? Into pieces?
Is he I wonder if he's talking about putting it on a barbecue grill.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, that's what he means, you know, on
in
a grill.
But I think it would actually kind of work like it was being smoked, maybe, if it was on the grill somehow. Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, that could be kind of fun.
Yeah, I love everything.
Greg, come cook me grilled. Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Last night, we didn't know what to eat. I just told my wife, let's barbecue a couple of steaks or something, you know?
Mm.
And it's good. I love barbecuing.
Me
you know?
Too.
It's amazing.
Nothing better than barbecue.
Yeah. But you know what goes best with barbecued meat is tahina. Do you know what that
What's
is?
What's tahina?
Okay. You know hummus, right? Or you call it hummus.
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 It's hummus.
It's hummus.
In Arabic, it's hummus.
Hummus.
Anyway, and so tahina is also like a dip.
Like tzatziki? No.
No, tzatziki? Yeah,
is it with like cucumber?
No, that's the Greek one.
Okay.
Yeah, but tahina is Middle Eastern and
like
it's,
tabbouleh?
No, enough with this. Okay. It's just a dip, it really is, but it's made from sesame and it's like fucking awesome. You know, I love it. So you eat it with the pita bread and you know, you just kind of dip
tahina
it.
Tahina with the pahita. tahina with the pita.
So, but anyway, sometime maybe I should bring you some so you can
try
that with like barbecued meat. It's like the fucking best.
You made me hungry.
Yes.
Oh.
I know, I'm getting hungry too. I got to start learning to eat in the morning, you know? I mean,
I already
crazy.
Had my cereal with like raisins and dried strawberries and stuff, but that barbecue, oh, baby. Nom, nom, nom.
Give me some barbecue.
Yeah.
There was one.
My favorite barbecue place in all of Los Angeles is Baby Blue's Barbecue in Venice. They are unbelievable. They constantly have like a line out the door. You know, it's best. I always go in there by myself because there's always like one seat left at the bar. You know, because couples always want to try and fit in, and there's always just like one odd seat.
Right.
And so I always just go in there and I just like, oh man, I stuff myself full of some damn good barbecue, and I watch the guys cook it in front of me, and you know, they know me, and so they're kind of like, oh, you want a barbecue shrimp? And they just keep giving me like little bites of everything. I sample like the whole smorgasbord. Oh God.
Yeah, I know. Food is good, you know. What I can't understand is how some people like focus their whole lives on food, you know. It's just amazing to me.
I absolutely could in a heartbeat.
Yeah?
We'll get my girlfriend Lena in here. Actually, I think you're friends with her on Facebook, and she's an amazing chef.
Yeah?
Unbelievable chef.
Really? Well, maybe she can make us some dishes and bring them in, you know?
Mm.
I mean, fuck. You know,
yes.
I mean, if people enjoy cooking, they should bring their creations here.
Yeah, and she does like private cooking for people. Like, you know, she'll go into a house in Beverly Hills, and she gets paid like $800 like a day to like do the food for the week, and just like cook all the food and like leave a note, like put this in the oven at 350, and your family will have a wonderful moussaka or whatever you know it is she's making.
Yeah, yeah.
So she's amazing.
Wow. I wanted, before I forget, I wanted to let you know that tomorrow we're going to have an incredible guest, okay? she is a midget Britney Spears impersonator, okay? And
you can't make this shit up.
No. And so, I mean, I've seen pictures and she's really like dancing like Britney and shit.
Oh,
so
man.
She's going to be in the studio tomorrow if she doesn't flake, that is. And,
I wonder if she shaved her head like Britney.
No, I don't think so.
Oh,
who knows?
God.
Who knows? But that would be a trip, you know? I wonder if she can sing, you know? She must.
Do the microphones go down that low?
Yeah.
Maybe she'll bring like a little booster seat.
Oh, shut up.
I know. Yeah. I wonder if she does sing. Make my boobies one more size.
Oh, because it could be that she just lip syncs, huh?
Yes.
Yeah,
like
that's true.
Like Britney.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
That's true, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, Britney does do that. You know, but I was thinking, I mean, many people have to lip sync because when you're on the stage and you're like dancing.
And you're bouncing around.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
That.
How the fuck are you going to sing, you know?
I don't know.
Yeah, so that's why I think it's actually that way. You know,
I would agree with you. I think it would be really difficult to be performing like that.
Right. I think singing.
I mean, they're
singing,
putting on
know?
A whole show.
Yeah.
You know, and you can't. I don't know. I guess maybe some people can.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I would agree that you would have to be lip syncing.
Yeah.
I don't know why people find it such a big deal when people are caught doing that.
Yeah,
who
because
cares?
It is their song anyway, right? Well, I'll tell you why. Because you go to see someone live, you want them to sing live. If you want to listen to their studio recording.
But if you're
recording,
going to see Elton John, yes, you want to hear him sing live. Because he's an amazing, amazing, talented musician, singer, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to see Britney Spears, I'm sorry, you're going for like the performance and
that's
for the energy
true.
In the audience. And to see her like shake her ass or kiss Madonna on stage or whatever she's going to do.
That's true.
I don't really think people should. Or Ashley Simpson, for God's sake, who gives a fuck if she's lip syncing or not?
I know, that's true.
You know, whatever, who cares? Like, it's all about, like, the person they've created, and, you know, they're just trying to, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a different person altogether, yes, I can understand.
If Elton John were lip syncing, like, I would be like, what the fuck, give me my money back.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
it depends on if it's, like, a true artist or if it's just, like, a star.
Yeah. But if they try to pass themselves off, I mean, back in the 80s, they had Milli Vanilli.
Right.
And that was that whole deal, you know, where it wasn't even their voices ever that you heard, you know? It was just they used them for the looks.
Yeah, sometimes you just got to find a person and you can market them to be whatever the fuck you want.
Exactly.
It's actually pretty crazy. There's this guy in Malibu. His name, I should have him come in here. He kind of is like a crackhead looking type of person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a black guy, but you know, and he's definitely always on drugs. And he's always going to and from the bar to his alcohol and drug awareness classes. So every time he's in between classes that are like court mandated, he'll come back to the bar and have like a stiff ass margarita. But some rich person in Beverly Hills, and I don't know why, they've chosen to like market this guy. And so they're marketing him as like the mayor of Malibu, and his whole thing is, my name's Carl, give me a dollar. So there are bumper stickers and like little stickers all over Malibu. If you go into any surf shop in Malibu, there are hoodies that have his face, and it says, Malibu Carl, give me a dollar.
Really?
There are t-shirts, sweatshirts, all over Malibu. Like, someone is like spending a lot of money trying to market this guy.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, but they're doing a good job of it, because every store in town is carrying like his face.
Yeah. It's like that Angelique, thing.
Angelique?
Oh,
Angelique?
Okay, I'm confusing you with another host, sorry.
Oh, it's okay.
With another co-host.
Do you have another show I don't know about? Are you cheating on me?
I guess, yeah. But there's this blonde that drives around Hollywood in a pink Corvette, and her name is Angelique.
Okay.
And she's got, like, billboards all over the place. And by now, she's really old, but she still tries to pass herself as, like, 30 years old. And she looks like shit, but, like, this big, long hair and... You know, so you can just imagine her, you know?
Yeah.
Driving a pink pink Corvette in Hollywood. So,
and so
they
people can, like, do anything to just make a name for themselves.
Yeah, exactly. So they would market her, and yet nobody would know what she does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she doesn't do anything.
Like, for the longest time, it was the same with Paris Hilton. It's like, well, what does she do?
Yeah.
Nothing, but she's really good at it.
Yeah. And she's really fucking hot, yeah?
And it's like, you and me, what do? Nothing, but yeah. We're really good at it.
Exactly. I know. I was thinking about this on our description. It says everything that matters and everything that doesn't. And we don't have anything that matters.
Nothing
here.
Matters.
But nothing fucking matters here.
But I think that's why people like us. You know what I mean? They have, like, their lives, and their lives are so serious, and they get just wrapped up in,
yes,
and everything that's going on. And, you know, they could turn us on, and we don't take a fucking goddamn thing seriously. And we,
yeah,
just joke around, and we, you know, we just kind of are very lighthearted about the things that we talk about.
Yeah.
And I mean, even when we have our porn stars and things on, we're really not really dirty or filthy. I mean, yes, we're a little R-rated, but I really don't think we're raunchy, like you were saying.
Where exactly have we not been raunchy?
I mean,
we use language all the time. Although today, I don't think we used the F word even once.
We did.
We did?
Yeah.
Okay. But
I'm going to start counting.
Remember James was telling me the other day, I listened to the show where he tells me I use fuck all the time. He's like, you have Tourette's.
You do. But you know what? You are getting better now that you're aware. Like, normally you would say, I have fucking Tourette's.
Yeah.
You would have put the fucking in there, but you didn't.
No, it depends. I just insert those words when they're funny, you know? Sometimes,
yes,
you just, they're funny. I mean, that's why people use them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And but it's got to be at the right moment, and maybe I don't always do that. I don't know.
Did I tell you what I did when I was a little kid to my retarded sister?
No.
She doesn't really say much.
Is that, like, really sad now?
No, it's a funny thing.
Okay.
I was, like, 8, and she was probably, like, 12 or 11 or 12 or something. And so, you know, she's living at her group home, and so she wouldn't say much, but you could teach her how to say a catchphrase, but you, mm-hmm, never know when she's going to say it. So I taught her how to say... oh, shit. Uh-huh. And so she's, like, randomly, I'm like, Katie, say oh, shit. And she's like, oh, shit. But so all of a sudden she says it. She said it at a couple of different occasions that were really inopportune. One, at the dinner table. And so I'm sitting there and Katie says, Mama, oh, shit. My mom fucking lost it, Sam.
Wow.
She calls the group home and the social worker, and she was like, what are these people that are taking care of my daughter? What kind of language are they using? Oh, my God. Blah, 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 blah. So, you know, now the social workers are getting, like, shit for like, this language that my sister picked up from me.
Yeah.
And then the worst was that she actually said it. We were in church, and I don't remember if it was, like, Christmas or anything. I think it might have been on Christmas Eve, because my mom and my grandfather and my grandmother were all on the altar, my mom singing and my grandparents doing readings and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so the priest was like, all right, everybody kneel and have a moment of silence. And Katie can't really kneel.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden, we're all kneeling. My sisters and me are all in the aisle together, looking holier than thou. And Katie stands up and yells, oh, shit,
oh,
amen. And it's echoing throughout the entire church, just reverberating, like, through the,
whoa,
you know, the cathedral ceilings. And all of a sudden, everyone turns around. They're like, well, we don't know if we can laugh because she's retarded. Like, she's drooling all over herself. Is it appropriate to laugh? But then at the same time, they're like, is it a miracle? Like, she's kind of mute.
Yeah.
Did, like, God just, like, perform a miracle? And my mom's on the altar, like, ready to just keel over and die because,
yeah,
she knows what's going on.
God, it's got to be hard to parent someone like that.
It
you know?
Really is. You know, it's been a difficult time.
For everybody.
For everybody.
I'm sure, right?
But definitely, at the same time, she's the biggest gift in the light of our life because, like, she,
really,
does things like this.
Yeah.
And it's just so funny because people take themselves so serious and they're so uptight.
Yeah.
And then she'll do this in church, and I'm just like, fuck yeah, 10 years later, she's still screaming it out. Seriously,
wow,
she hadn't said it for 10 years, and then she just said it at the perfect time.
Yeah. That's
Catholic
true.
Church.
That is perfect.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Now, do you guys bring her to family gatherings and stuff?
Yes. Like, when, really? I go home, she comes home every Sunday still. My mom picks her up. And when I go home for Christmas, we're going to bring her down to New York City with my dad and, like, take her to a Broadway show to see Shrek. And
cool.
Yeah. And she'll spend Christmas and everything with us. So
that'll be nice.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's probably her favorite time of year.
I'm sure. Fuck, how sad is that? But you see, it's not sad for them, right? Because they don't understand.
That, you know? That's a whole nother show.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's end it on a positive
yes.
note.
Yes. Okay? Oh, shit. Yeah.
Okay, and Greg says, I've been listening for 25 minutes and you've said fuck 325 times. So it's probably close.
Oh, no.
Well, I'm sorry about that, but that's the nature of the
Don't
show.
Don't apologize.
At least I'm polite to our guests and stuff, right?
Yes, you yell at me sometimes. You're like, Susie, be polite to the guests. It's like, sorry.
I know sometimes I cringe at the things you tell them. Because these are serious people, you know.
Whatever, what can
yeah,
I say?
Exactly, yeah.
You can't change me.
Exactly. Call, you know, you got to call in when you know you're going to call in.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. What was I saying? Anyway.
Let's go.
Yeah, so I just do want to promote Greg's show again. I guess
barbecue
they'll
turkey.
Be talking, yeah, it's a Thanksgiving themed show, barbecue and turkeys, and Greg, if you ask me one more time to plug the show, I'm going to plug your ass.
And well, what time, when and where is the show?
Thank you. It's on tonight at 6 o'clock Pacific, which makes it 9 o'clock Eastern, and catch Greg. He's got one of the most popular shows, believe it or not, being that it's a niche show. Very popular on the station. So
cool.
I recommend that. Also, don't forget, we have Downtown Lounge following us. DJ's on vacation, so we have a... we're going to have psychic style today, just like a special time this week alone with Justine. And then we have, of course, so TJ's not here. We have Johnny Dam, and then we have Troy's Room, who plays if you like a lot of really... music, then you listen to that show, and broad topics for women, different views at 7. So thank you so much, Susie. I
Anytime,
was gonna call
darling.
You Judy.
Hey, you better not start fucking up my name.
I know. Well, I'm getting the ring of it. You know, in the beginning, I thought, I don't know, Sam and Susie doesn't sound right, you know?
It sounds perfect.
Now it does, because we're used to it, you know?
It sounded perfect right from
I
the beginning.
I wanted like a Sam and Megan or something, or...
that doesn't sound good.
Or Sam and... No, I love your name. You're definitely a Susie. That's what you are.
Yes, I am.
Yes, you are. Okay, so we're out of time completely. So we'll be back right here tomorrow.